Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, controversy erupts over the President's decision to attend a partition commemoration. Former Taoiseach John Bruton will tell us shortly why he thinks Michael D. Higgins is wrong. The Minister for Agriculture on what the government can do for people whose homes are crumbling due to mica and pyrite. The family of a man who was killed in a baseball attack tells us about the trauma of sitting through three trials before the perpetrator was convicted. A newly discovered interview with John Lennon reveals his favourite Beatles tracks, and some of them might surprise you, and we'll discuss the week just gone with the gathering that's coming up a little bit later on. Our text number 51551, email today cb@rte.ie or on Twitter we're at Today with Claire. What started out as an invitation to a religious service had in fact become a political statement. I was also referred to as President of the Republic of Ireland. I am President of Ireland. Those are the words of President Michael D. Higgins as he explained his decision to decline an invitation to a religious service in Northern Ireland next month. He denied he was snubbing Queen Elizabeth, who will be in attendance, and said it had become political in nature when it was billed as commemorating the centenary of the partition of Ireland. I'm joined first on the line by former Taoiseach John Bruton. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You have questions around this decision taken by President Higgins. What do you make of it?
Well, the first thing I'd say is that under the Good Friday Agreement, which was approved by the Irish people, the Irish people accepted that Northern Ireland, for the time being, is part of the United Kingdom. So there is no issue about the Irish people, whether they accept or not the existence of Northern Ireland. And this was simply marking 100 years of it, the Northern Ireland's existence. It wasn't celebrating it. It was simply a service, a prayer service of reconciliation and reflection.
But now, it wasn't marking the Good Friday Agreement. It's commemorating
partition.
But the
Good Friday Agreement says that we accept Northern Ireland's existence. And indeed, the idea of a border poll arises from our acceptance of that. The only reason that there could be a border poll is that it could change what we are currently accepting, which is the existence of Northern Ireland. Now, there is another issue here. The President, in receiving this invitation, and if he went, would be acting not as a personal individual, but as President. And it was part of the power. It's part of the power and functions of the President to attend or not to attend events like this. And Article 13.9 of the Constitution is very clear that the President's powers and functions can only be exercised with the advice and on the advice of the Irish government. There cannot be two Northern Ireland policies for Ireland, one made in Áras an Uachtaráin and another made in government buildings. There's a single policy, and the President is obliged under the Constitution to act on the advice of the government. I'm not sure if he even sought the advice of the government on this, but certainly they didn't offer him any advice, and he acted, it seems to me, without the advice of the government.
I'm looking at Article 9 here. The powers and functions conferred on the President by this Constitution, as you say, shall be exercisable and performable by him only on the advice of the government. You're saying he didn't seek that advice, but was he obliged to? I mean, attending an event, is that part of the powers and functions conferred on him by the Constitution?
Well, he was to be attending this event as President, and I think it is clearly within his powers and functions to do this.
But he attends lots of things. Just to be clear on this, because this is really important, he attends lots of functions and events. Are you saying then that he needs to take advice from the government in relation to each and every single invitation that comes through his office?
In practical terms, if he was opening a credit union somewhere in Ireland, he wouldn't need to get the specific advice of the government on that. But on an event, the attendance or non-attendance or refusal of an invitation to attend an event of this issue and this sensitivity vis-a-vis the relations we're seeking to build up with both communities on the north of the border, it seems to me that the President clearly ought to have taken and followed the advice of the government and not acted on his own. He's not a private citizen. It's not a question of whether Michael D. Higgins, as a private citizen, would approve of this this event or not. He is acting on behalf of the entire state, and the provisions of the Constitution are quite clear that when he's acting on behalf of the state, he acts with the advice of the government.
He says he has a right to exercise a discretion as to what he thinks is appropriate for his attendance.
Well, if that is the case, I think he has exercised his discretion very badly. I don't believe he does. He does, in fact. I think the provisions of the Constitution are quite clear that on a matter of this serious nature, and we know how serious it is now given the reaction to it, that he ought to have taken the advice of the government and not acted on his own.
So you're accusing him of poor judgment, of being in breach also of his constitutional obligations?
Yes.
So what should happen now?
That's not for me.
Do you think he should reverse his decision?
Well, I think he should reverse his decision, yes. Let's put this in context. We're trying to work our way through a very difficult situation in Northern Ireland arising from Brexit. We're trying to bring the unionist community on side to accept the protocol and to accept a closer relationship with us. It seems to me that gestures towards a recognition of their heritage are very important on behalf of the Irish state if we want to achieve peace and harmony in Northern Ireland between the communities there and between the two parts of Ireland, or eventually possibly uniting the country. There needs to be a lot of proactive work done by this state and by everyone representing it, including the President, in reaching out to the unionist community.
And including commemorating partition. Let me quote
from... Well, it's not commemorating partition as such. It's commemorating the existence of an entity which the Irish people have accepted when they accepted the referendum, voted for the Good Friday Agreement.
OK, a letter writer in the Irish Times says partition was only accepted by the pro-treaty side in our civil war under threat of terrible and immediate war by the British, and has been the source of division and unrest ever since. Now, there are plenty of people here who will agree with that, and you're saying that the President should commemorate that event.
This is not a commemoration. This is simply marking an anniversary, and it is to be a prayerful event, and it is to be attended by the head of state of the United Kingdom. Now, the only person who is the counterpart of the head of state of the United Kingdom in this jurisdiction is Uachtaráin na hÉireann. And I think it was a great opportunity for the two of them to stand together and show that there is a future for Northern Ireland that is both Irish and also has a dimension that expresses the unionist sentiment as well. That the two can be made compatible, and their presence together, the two of them together, praying, and I think it's important that we need to recognise that this is a religious event, would have had very, and would and could still have a very positive impact on opinions in Northern Ireland. And I would have to say, I think it would be a very brave decision for the President to change his mind. It would be difficult. But I think sometimes in life, one makes mistakes, and one should have the strength of character to react.
He simply disagrees with you.
Mistakes.
He feels, quite simply, that this has become politicised. What had started out as an invitation to a religious service had in fact become a political statement.
Well, if he had taken the advice of the government, the government, I have no doubt, would have been able to iron out with the inviters any difficulties there were about, you know, how he was being addressed or titles and things like that. It seems to me that that's something that could have been resolved diplomatically. But it seems he didn't take the advice of the government. He just made the decision on his own.
And you feel he's not entitled to do that?
It is this that has created the storm.
So he has created the storm?
Well, the decision of his own bat to reject the invitation has created what we now are going through. And I think he is safeguarded in the Constitution by Article 13.9, which provides for him to take advice. And I think that's what he should do at this stage. And hopefully a diplomatic resolution of this matter can be found. Because the last thing we need at this very sensitive time in Northern Ireland, where the existence of the executive is hanging on a thread, the protocol is in great difficulty, is an additional controversy. And I think this could this event, by the way, which isn't taking place for another month, has been in preparation for a very long time, and there were plenty of opportunities to resolve any problems that might be about the title of the event or indeed how he was addressed.
Yes, and just to remind people that President Higgins said to reporters last night in Rome, "I was also referred to as the President of the Republic of Ireland. I am the President of Ireland." That's the matter you're saying could have been resolved.
Well, yes. I mean, the name of the state is Éire, or in the English language, Ireland, and that's the state of which he's president. So he's right on that. But this is just one of the, loose use of language. There's nothing pejorative in it. I mean, this is a republic, and it is the only republic in Ireland. So in that sense, you know, this isn't a grave insult, really. But they could have been resolved quietly through diplomatic channels, in my view, if the president had, as I think the Constitution obliges him to do, sought the advice of the government in a formal way.
In citing that, how he was addressed, do you think he was looking for a reason not to go?
Well, you may draw that conclusion. I don't know. I won't delve into his motives at all.
Should the government send a representative?
Well, yes, but the government can't send a representative that's equivalent to the head of state of the United Kingdom, who will be in attendance. Mm-hmm. So inevitably, anyone the Irish government sends will be of a lower order of precedence than the head of state. So the only person that would get equality if he were to attend is Luke Drawn-Hearn.
Okay. If we accept that, as you contend, he was in breach of Article 13.9, which means, as you say, he should have consulted the government on this, what can the government do about that?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think people have an autonomous obligation. Every one office holder has an obligation to abide by the Constitution. I don't think the government can force the president, or the president can't force the government to abide by the Constitution. It's for each one to read the Constitution sincerely and abide by it sincerely. And I think, rather than get into a constitutional argument, I think the simplest thing would be for the president to rethink his approach to this matter, and to look at it in the wider context of what we need to do to achieve reconciliation between the two communities in Northern Ireland, to recognise as well what the Irish people decided in the Good Friday Agreement.
And to attend the event.
And to attend.
All right, John Bruton, former Taoiseach, thank you very much for joining us. I'm joined in studio now by Professor Diarmaid Farrater, historian and author, and on the phone by Patricia McBride, former Victims Commissioner and Irish News columnist, and Ben Lowry, Deputy Editor with the Belfast Newsletter. Diarmaid Farrater, to come to you first. Article 13.9, the President should, according to John Bruton, have sought the advice of the government on this invitation.
This is not a constitutional issue. And with respect, I think John Bruton is completely misreading that article of the Constitution. That article refers to specific functions of the President exercisable on advice of the government. That has to do with certain things like the dissolution of governments, the appointment of ministers. If a president wanted to address the nation on a particular subject, he has the right to do that, but he has to get permission from the government. If he wanted to travel abroad to a particular event, he'd have to get permission from the government. That is separate from the president receiving invitations on which he can exercise his own judgment. He has independence, he has autonomy in that regard. There's nothing in the Constitution to stop the president, when he receives an invitation directly, from accepting it or refusing it and using his judgment. He's mandated to use his judgment. He's directly elected by us, and he needs to operate at arm's length from government when it comes to certain matters, not the specific functions that are laid down in the Constitution in relation to the official functions of the office. When it comes, of course, to the operation of government. And he does, of course, take precedence over all other people in the state. So there does need to be a certain distance. So I think that is something of a red herring, to be honest with you.
Would it not have been advisable, though, to speak to the government about this before making
a
decision?
No. Why would he have to speak to the government about this? This is what I'm speaking about in relation to his own discretion. He has earned the right to make his own decisions about commemoration. He's been deeply engaged in commemoration. And he may well be thinking, why should I be dragged in to what is, in his view, a commemoration? It has been repeatedly stated by John Bruton there and by Geoffrey Donaldson, the leader of the DUP, that this is not a commemoration. It clearly is. If it was just a religious service of remembrance, and you need subtlety and nuance here, that would be a different thing. Were he to attend, he would cause grave offence to many people in
Northern
Ireland.
So he's right not to go, in your view?
I think he is, for the reason that this cannot be considered an inclusive, shared event. Yes, the four churches are involved, and I think they've displayed considerable naivety in how they've labelled this particular event. But there are many, of course, who have problems with this. And for a president who is engaged in a very delicate balancing act around commemoration, that is very, very, very difficult. We have a situation now also where we have this breathtaking hypocrisy from the DUP who are lecturing the head of state on North-South relations. Exactly a week after the DUP announced their immediate withdrawal from North-South institutions under the Good Friday Agreement, the same Good Friday Agreement they are now invoking as a reason why the president should go. So they're weaponising this. And that, to me, is a reminder of why the president was right to be wary. Could this be construed, this service, and remember, it's a Christian act of worship commemorating 100 years of Northern Ireland and partition. Could that be construed, if the president was to attend, as indirectly endorsing a blessing of the partition of Ireland? Okay, that's very problematic for an Irish
let's
president.
Let's get Ben Lowry's view now, particularly on what you said there about the DUP weaponising this, Ben.
Well, can I just give you some very important context from a unionist perspective on this? And it's as follows. The centenary of Northern Ireland has essentially been invisible. And the reason it's been invisible is because the UK government is frightened, essentially, as successive UK governments always are, of upsetting Irish nationalist opinion. And I think that maybe the only respect in which I would agree with the critics of this service is it has been a bit muddled. I mean, we're not having events. This is one of the showcase events for the centenary of Northern Ireland. I mean, you could the government can hide behind the fact that there has been COVID and restrictions that's made it easy for the commemoration of the centenary of the country that many of us love. I would say still most of us love has been so timid, and they got into this confused service rather than having a full-throated celebration of Northern Ireland, at which you would not expect Michael D. Higgins and nationalists and people who oppose Northern Ireland to attend. And incidentally, even if there is something that is a celebration, effectively, there's an argument for attending that as well. And the reason I say that is because I reported for the Belfast Newsletter, and we're one of the only media outlets in the UK that emphatically describes itself as unionist. We're not embarrassed about that. It's a core part of our identity.
I was in Dublin.
Yeah. I was in Dublin in 2016.
Yes.
And I wrote about how sad it was not to see unionists there, even though, of course, as a newspaper, we understand the unionist argument that the Easter Rising was something that didn't have support and was violence that
well,
didn't need to
point,
happen.
On that point, Michael D. Higgins said last night, didn't he, there often has not been a great deal of traffic down from the DUP people who are criticising me now, and he has a point.
Yes, and I think it was a very big mistake for the DUP to not go to the papal visit. Another thing that I covered, we have tried to cover all these events, even though we are paper, but I'm not here to defend the DUP. It's up to the DUP to defend itself. I'm here to try to give you a unionist perspective on this.
So should President Higgins attend this event?
There has been timidity over the celebration of Northern Ireland, and they have come up with an event that unionists ought to say, I would say, that this is all feeble and embarrassing. And we're not even celebrating Northern Ireland. The police service of Northern Ireland says nothing about celebrating Northern Ireland.
All right,
that line is fading there,
Ben. I'm going to go to Patricia McBride. What's your view of President Higgins declining this invitation, Patricia?
I think he's right to decline the invitation, and I think the President understands the mood of the nation much better than John Bruton does. I was quite shocked that Mr. Bruton would infer that the President failing to attend this event somehow undermined his recognition of the existence of the North or his support for the Good Friday Agreement. And it was quite laughable, actually, that John Bruton seems to think that Michael D. Higgins going to a church service in Armagh might make the DUP sign up to the Northern Ireland Protocol of the Brexit Agreement. I mean, relations are not going to be ultimately shaped by whether or not Michael D. Higgins attends this service. But I think the question that we have to ask ourselves is what was in the minds of the people who actually extended the invitation? I mean, it's quite shocking that the Catholic Church thought that it would be appropriate to be part of this event in the first place, in my view. I mean, this is an event that celebrates the partition of Ireland, which led to 50 years of single-party rule, mm-hmm. under which Catholics face ethnic cleansing, discrimination in employment, housing, and extreme poverty. Okay. And yet the Catholic Church is part of it. And
yes,
you know,
I want to bring people this from the Church Leaders Group press release about this event. The service is being organised by the Church Leaders Group as part of their wider programme of collective engagement around the 1921 centenaries, with an emphasis on their common Christian commitment to peace, healing and reconciliation. What's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with peace, healing and reconciliation, but it's not, a reconciliation doesn't mean forgetting. And anyone who read Michael D. Higgins' opinion piece in The Guardian in February this year, he says that a feigned amnesia around the uncomfortable aspects of our shared history will not help us to forge a better future together. And the events that are being commemorated are to be remembered and understood, respecting the fact that different perspectives exist, and in doing this we can facilitate a more authentic interpretation of our shared history, but also post-sectarian possibilities for the future.
I don't know where Dermot Ferriter, Patricia, your line is going now. The phone lines would just drive you insane. Dermot Ferriter, to come back to you, what is it about this event that tells us it's not going to be a responsible remembrance of those events? So what's wrong with it?
Well, if you have a look at the reaction of people who think very deeply about this and feel very deeply about Northern Ireland and the history of Northern Ireland and the people who have lived there, clearly many of them are not comfortable with it. This is not about trying to bully unionists out of their loyalties or pride in their past and their traditions, but you have to respect the right to opt out. You know, Arlene Foster came to Dublin in 1916, not to a religious service of remembrance of 1916, as was falsely stated by Geoffrey Donaldson this morning on Morning Ireland. She went to a historical debate, but she also that year went out of her way to deride the 1916 leaders and heap contempt on the rising itself. The president is not going to do that. He has engaged in historical debate. He's going to continue to engage in historical debate, but this is of a different order.
Ben Lowry, what about the president taking issue with being addressed as the President of the Republic of Ireland? He contends that he is the President of Ireland. Do you see an issue there?
Well, listen, I think that is my phone line okay now?
It is, yeah,
can you hear
all
me?
Good.
Clearly,
yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. I think if the title is wrong, that's very unfortunate. What I would say to anybody who's listening to this, because we get really very upset about RTE referring to the North and the Irish Times, the paper of record, referring to the North. As John Bruton said, 1998 cemented the principle of consent and the existence of Northern Ireland. So if anybody's listening to this and thinks that references to the Republic are insulting, I think certainly the government, the UK government, should get this right. But the average person in Northern Ireland, when they refer to the Republic, is trying to be precise. Mm-hmm. That is not an attempt to be insulting. And maybe the UK government felt that the President of Ireland was something that unionists would misconstrue as encompassing all of Ireland. So I think references, certainly all I can say is that when unionists refer to the Republic of Ireland, or when I refer to the Republic of Ireland, it is an attempt to be polite and precise. And if we need to think a little bit more about that and think about using Ireland as a way of saying the Republic, then, you know, that's mm-hmm. something that we do need to take on board.
We don't want to be
falling out over small things like that.
Okay, can I ask you, do you see this as being a snub to the British head of state, Queen Elizabeth?
I think, as I said, the first thing, it's a very unfortunate that there haven't been full-throated defences of Northern Ireland, and if people don't want to come, then they can opt out, as is the same in reverse. I think it's certainly, the way it's been set up and the way it's turned out, it looks like a snub of the Queen, amongst other things. Yes, that is, I'm afraid, how it comes across. Can I also say another thing about Michael D. Higgins? Again, this is looking in. My memory of Irish presidents, and, you know, that goes back quite a few decades, my political memory of Irish presidents. I don't remember any Irish president who was as political as he seems to be.
Dermot Ferriter.
I don't remember
or
any
Dermot
Irish
Ferriter.
President who's...
Okay, I want to bring Dermot Ferriter in on that point, particularly on Ben Lowry saying that he does see this as a snub to Queen Elizabeth.
President Higgins has been elected twice. Clearly the office of the president, there are specific constitution provisions relating to it, but the nature of how the office operates has changed dramatically. There were controversies controversies over Mary Robinson, for example, going to Northern Ireland and shaking the hand of Gerry Adams and so on. So, you know, there has been more presidential autonomy in recent years because, you know, the perception of what the president should and should not do has changed. And clearly he has a roaring mandate from the Irish people who trust his judgment, particularly on these matters, because he's mediated. He's mediated deeply on them. No, it's not a snub. Clearly, the president and the Queen have shared very important symbolic events and occasions in the past. The Queen is the reigning monarch of the United Kingdom. You know, she has particular obligations in relation to different parts of that United Kingdom. There have been times when the monarch and an Irish president could stand together, as in Messines in 1998, to commemorate a shared aspect of the history in relation to the soldiers of the First World War. But again, this is a different kind of delicacy, because it has to do, obviously, with the ongoing contested state of Northern Ireland. Right. And 50 years ago, Claire, let's remind ourselves, 50 years ago for the 50th anniversary, the Queen couldn't attend Northern Ireland for the 50th anniversary of Northern Ireland because of the extent of the troubles. At least we're not in that space now.
Professor Dermot Ferreter, Ben Lowry and Patricia McBride, thank you very much. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.